Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Okay, so we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, eighth canto, chapter 17. We're up to text 26, but that doesn't have a purport, so we'll chant 27 together. That has a purport, so I'll just chant 26. We'll do 27 together, and then I'll also chant 28, and which doesn't have a purport, and that'll finish the chapter. Okay. Okay, so this is 26. Or is it 25? Let's see. No, sorry. 25 and 26 don't have a purport, so I'll do both those. Sri Brahmovacha. I'll just do 25 and 26. That always happens. It's okay. 25 and 26, myself, and then we'll do 27 together because that's the one with the purport. And then I'll just read 28, which finishes the chapter. Sri Bhamavacha Jayor. That usually happens too. We'll try it one more time. Okay? Now, what's going to happen? Oh, you know. Okay, Sri Bhamavacha Jayarugaya Bhagavan Urukrama Namostute Namo Brahmanya Devaya Trigunaya Namo Namaha. Translation: Lord Brahma said, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all glories unto you, who are glorified by all and whose activities are all uncommon. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, O Lord of the Transcendentalists, Controller of the Three Modes of Nature. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. Namaste Prishni Garbhaya Veda Garbhaya Vedhase Trinabhaya Tripristaya Sipi Vishtaya Vishnave. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the all-pervading Lord Vishnu, who have entered the cores of the hearts of all living entities. All the three worlds reside within your navel. Yet you are above the three worlds. Formerly you appeared as the son of Prishni. To you, the supreme creator, who are understood only through Vedic knowledge, I offer my respectful obeisances. Okay, now this is the one where we'll chant together. Tvamadiranto bhava bhuvanasya majyam. Tvam adiranto bhuvanasya majyam. Ananta Shaktim Purusham Yamahu. Ananta Shaktim Purusham Yamahu. Kalo Bhavan Akshipatisha Vishvam. Kalo Bhavan Akshipatisha Vishvam. Shroto yatanata patitam gabiram. Shroto yatanata patitam gibiram. Tvamadiranto bhuvanashyamajyam. Ananta shaktim purusham yamahu. Kalo bhavan akshipatasya vishvan. Shroto yatanta patitam gabiram. Okay, others? Vaishnavis. Twam, your lordship. Adi, the original cause. Anta, the cause of dissolution. Bhuvanasya, of the universe. Madhyan, maintenance of the present manifestation. Anantashaktim, the reservoir of unlimited potencies. Purusham, the supreme person. Yam, whom? Ahu, they say. Kala, the principle of eternal time. Bhavan, your lordship. Akshipati, attracting. Isha, the supreme lord. Vishvam, the whole universe. Shrota, waves. Yataha, as. Antapatitam, fallen within the water. Gabiram, very deep. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, You are the beginning, the manifestation, and the ultimate dissolution of the three worlds. And You are celebrated in the Vedas as the reservoir of unlimited potencies, the Supreme Person. O my Lord, as waves attract branches and leaves that have fallen into deep water, You, the supreme eternal time factor, attract everything in this universe. Purport. The time factor is sometimes described as kala strota, waves of time. Everything in this material world is within the time factor and is being carried away by waves of attraction, which represent the supreme personality of Godhead. I'll just read the last translation, and that'll finish the chapter. Svam bhai prajanam stira jangamanam prajapatinam asi samba vishnu divaukasam deva divaschutanam parayanam nau iva majatopsu. Translation, my Lord, You are the original generator of all living entities, stationary or moving. And You are also the generator of the Prajapatis. O my Lord, as a boat is the only hope for a person drowning in the water, You are the only shelter for the demigods who are now bereft of their heavenly position. Om Aginati Mananda Shajananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Melitamiyana Tasmai Shri Gudavena Maha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitamiyana Bhutale Swayamupakadamayam Dharati Swaparantikam. So today's verse is talking about being how the time factor carries away the living entities by the waves of attraction. And so before we start talking about that and hearing about how the conditioned souls get carried away by the waves of attraction, which doesn't sound too attractive, we're going to give everybody a little good news first. So make you feel better before you have to feel bad about being carried away by the ways of attraction. But this is the good news. The good news is, and this is from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, text 7, and the purport, Prabhupada says, the conditioned soul is covered by the material body with the mind and the senses. And when he is liberated, this material covering perishes. But his spiritual body manifests itself in its individual capacity. The following information is there in the Majjhadhyayana Shruti. I have a lot of Sanskrit, which I'll skip. It says, it is stated here that when a living entity gives up this material embodiment and enters into the spiritual world, he revives his spiritual body. And in his spiritual body, he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. He can hear and speak to him face to face. And he can understand the Supreme Personality as he is. From the Smriti, it is also understood, some Sanskrit, in the spiritual planets, everyone lives in bodies featured like the Supreme Personality of Godheads. As far as bodily construction is concerned, there is no difference between the part and parcel of living entities and the expansions of Vishnumurti. In other words, at liberation, the living entity gets a spiritual body by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, that's what we want. We want that. We want a spiritual body. We have a spiritual body already, and as pointed out here, it just has to be revived. I think that's the word Prabhupada says here. Yeah. It is stated here that when a living entity enters, gives up the material embodiment, and enters into the spiritual world, he revives his spiritual body. Revive means comes back to life, like it's activated again. Okay? So that's, as I said, that's what we're looking forward to, we're hoping will happen. And more good news is that we don't even have to necessarily wait till the time of death to experience that. Because if you're a pure devotee, and when you give up this body, that's what you can expect to happen. But as I said, even better news is that we don't even have to wait till that moment, the time of death, to experience that. Earlier on in the previous chapter, in chapter 14, Krishna says, when the embodied being is able to transcend these three modes associated with the material body, he can become free from birth, death, old age, and their distresses, and can enjoy nectar even in this life. And Prabhupada points out in the purport, he says that by advancement in spiritual knowledge, he can become free from the influence of the modes of nature, the living entity. He can enjoy the happiness of spiritual life even in this body, because after leaving the body, he is certainly going to the spiritual sky. But even in this body, he can enjoy spiritual happiness. So, in other words, if one becomes advanced and transcends the three modes of material nature, even in this body, you can enjoy this spiritual happiness. You can, you know, experience spiritual life. So, how do we do that? Sounds like a good deal. How do we do it? How do we transcend the three modes of material nature? Well, because there's that verse, Mam Chayo Vyabhachadena Bhakti, you're going to savate, that by engaging in devotional service without falling down in any circumstance, one transcends the three modes of material nature and comes to the spiritual platform. But breaking it down even further, what does it mean to engage in full devotional service and not fall down in any circumstance? It means to follow the instructions of the spiritual master without deviation. Because as we heard about a week ago, Suvas Prabhu was reading in the morning from the purports from the second canto, I think it was chapter 1, text 10, and he was reading how Prabhupada made the statement in the purport. He said, advancing in spiritual knowledge is a little bit different than advancing in material knowledge. He said, advancing in material knowledge is dependent upon, how do you say it, personal ability and research aptitude, I think were the two phrases Prabhupada used. But he said, but advancing in spiritual knowledge is more or less completely dependent upon the mercy of the spiritual master. Yeah. And that's our understanding. That, you know, you advance in spiritual knowledge, It's not, by personal ability or research aptitudes, the mercy of the spiritual master. That's our understanding. And, of course, every morning at Mangalore, we sing that song, Guru Vastakam Prayasan. The last prayer of those eight prayers is, by the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the mercy of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one doesn't make any advancement. There's different translations. That's one of them. So that's our understanding of how it happens, how you advance, how you transcend the three modes of material nature. You follow the instructions of the spiritual master without deviating. In the chapter 4 of the Bhagavad Gita, and the purports of that famous verse, Tadvidi Paripatena, where it says, just try to learn the truth by approaching a bona fide spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. And in the purports of that, there's one sentence where Prabhupada says, one must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. And when he, spiritual master, sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. You see? So that's the test of the spiritual master, is that he gives us instructions, and we have to follow those instructions without deviation. And if you can do like that, if you do that, or at least to the degree you do that, to that degree, you're passing the test of the spiritual master, and you're going to be blessed with genuine spiritual understanding. The reason I say to the degree, because I don't think it's a black and white thing. Elsewhere, actually a little further on in the Gita, in the fifth chapter, Krishna says, when you are enlightened with the knowledge by which nations is destroyed, then your knowledge will reveal everything, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So Krishna is using that analogy. So if you really think about that analogy carefully, how does the sun light up everything in the daytime? It does it gradually. It's not like flipping a light switch. It's not like one moment it's completely dark and then, doop, and the next second it's, No, it's gradually. It happens over a period of an hour, actually. So let's, assuming that that's the process. So to the degree that we're strictly following the instructions of the spiritual master to that, without deviation, to that degree we're passing the test of the spiritual master. To that degree we're going to be enlightened and we'll be blessed with genuine spiritual understanding. And I think a further insight into how it works is that there's that verse in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, two verses actually, says, to those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. Out of compassion for them, I who am dwelling within their heart, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So in other words, Krishna says, to those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love. What does that mean? That means, once again, following the at least for us in the beginning stages, that means following the instructions of the spiritual master without deviation. So people who do that, Krishna gives, he'll give them the intelligence, how they can come to him. In other words, how they can engage more favorably in devotional service. And then the result of that will be, as he says in the next verse, out of compassion for them, I who am dwelling within their heart, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So the spiritual master and Krishna are like this, they're in cahoots, so to speak. They're a very close team. And, if you're following the instructions of the spiritual master, Krishna understands that. Krishna's in your heart, understands that. And he enlightens. He destroys with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. See? And so that's how it works. That's how we become able to enjoy nectar even in this life, experience spiritual happiness even in this life, even within this body, even before we give up this material body and go back into the spiritual world. But, so that's the good news. That's the good news. It's very simple. We just have to try to follow the instructions of the spiritual master as strictly as we possibly can, without deviation as much as we possibly can. And, to the degree we're successful at doing that, to that degree we're going to advance and we'll be blessed with this genuine spiritual knowledge. And this, is very nicely described here. I love these couple sentences. We'll be able to, as Prabhupada says here, translating that verse from the Madhyad Dinayana Shruti, says, in his spiritual body, he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. He can hear and speak to him face to face. And he can understand the Supreme Personality as he is. So in other words, that's a lot to look forward to, being able to see Krishna face to face, hear Krishna and speak to him face to face and understand who he is, what's going on. That's, you know, something really nice, and you know, we should always be remembering that's our goal. That's what we're, you know, we're striving for that, and it's not unattainable. You know, it's the process has been given to us, and we just have to take it seriously, apply ourselves to it, and we'll make progress towards reaching that goal. And this verse, as we said, today's verse was talking about being carried away by the waves of attraction. So where does that come into the picture? Well, that comes into the picture to the degree that you don't strictly follow the instructions of the spiritual master. To the degree that we don't follow those instructions without deviation, to that degree, you're going to be carried away by the waves of attraction. Prabhupada expresses that in a slightly different way in a purport, in his purport to chapter, text 58 of chapter 18. He says, As soon as he acts in Krishna consciousness, he is liberated from and free from material perplexities. So we've just been hearing about that. One should note very carefully that one who is not active in Krishna consciousness is losing himself in the material whirlpool, in the ocean of birth and death. So same idea, you know, whirlpool, carried away by waves, pushed along by the current. It's all the same idea. You're being forced to do something. Something is being imposed upon you against your will. Some undesirable situation is being imposed against your will. So that's what's referring to here. And so one who is not active in Krishna consciousness is in that situation. He's being losing himself in the whirlpool, in the material whirlpool, in the ocean of birth and death. In other words, you're being carried away by the waves of attraction, and which is not a good thing. Has anybody ever been caught in a whirlpool or been carried away by waves or pushed around by the current? Yeah. A few devotees are shaking their head, yes. Yeah, it's a very frightening experience. I experienced that myself. I was swimming down here in Playa del Rey, and I noticed that the waves, they break at a certain point. So I thought, okay, I'll just go a little bit past that so I don't have to every, 30 seconds dive underneath and to avoid getting hit by a wall of water. I'll just, while they're still kind of rolling along. So I went out a little bit further, and I thought, oh, okay, I solved the problem. I beat the system. You know, I'm out here, and it's nice. It's just kind of like a little, kind of moves you up and down a little bit. And so I was, enjoying myself, and I was thinking, I outsmarted all these people. They're kind of struggling with this wave. But then after a few minutes, I realized, okay, that's enough. I'll start swimming back into the shore now. So I started to swim back in. I was thinking, okay. And I noticed after about 2, 3, 4 minutes of swimming, I wasn't getting anywhere. I said, wait a second, what's happening? I'm swimming, but I don't seem to be getting any closer to these people that are just, were the shore. And so I said, well, let me swim a little harder. So I started swimming a little harder, and same thing. I wasn't making any progress. And then I don't go swimming a lot, so I just, it took me a few seconds, and I realized, wait a second, what's going on here? I said, riptide. And I realized I must have been caught in I said, this must be what they call a riptide. I was getting first-hand experience of it right there. So I gave it one more shot at it, trying to swim as hard as I could to get back in, and it wasn't working. So then I basically panicked, and I just yelled, help! I just yelled out. And fortunately, I was swimming at a beach. There was other people there. So somebody heard me, and then they yelled up to, there was a guy sitting in one of those, I don't know what you call them, like a tower? Lifeguard in the tower. And I knew what they call a lifeguard, but tower or whatever. And so he jumped down, and he hopped in a little boat, and he came out, like a little motorboat he had, and he came out there, and he threw something, and I grabbed onto it, and they pulled me back in to where I could swim back in from. But it was frightening. It's frightening. You're in there, and you realize you're helpless. And if you don't do something about it, you're going to drown. And that's what it felt like. And so that's what's being described here. That's, if we're not active within Krishna consciousness, then we're losing ourselves in the whirlpool, the material whirlpool, in the ocean of birth and death. So we really want to avoid that. Probably other devotees have had a similar experience. If you go to Mayapur, if you jump in the Ganges, very strong current. When you jump in, if it's too strong a current, depends. It varies, different times, seasons, parts of the year, and different days of the week, perhaps. But if it's basically when you jump in, you have to have a program for swimming upstream, because if you don't, you're going to very quickly be downstream about 100 meters. It's that strong. You just have to dive in there and start swimming, even if you just want to hold your position. So, plenty of devotees have experienced that. You have to, be very careful. Currents are there. So in the same way, there's this current, as being pointed out here, the current or the waves of material attraction, current, waves, whirlpool, same idea. And it's being pointed out that everything in this material world is within this time factor. But so how do we... the solution has already been mentioned here by Prabhupada in that last purport I referred to. We have to be active in Krishna consciousness. If you're active in Krishna consciousness, then you're not going to be victimized by the current of material energy or the waves of attraction or the whirlpool, the material whirlpool, but you'll be able to, stay steady and keep going. And so to be active in Krishna consciousness just means to be engaged in devotional service. It means to take shelter of Krishna, take shelter of the person who can't be carried away. It's talking about being carried away by waves of attraction. But if we take shelter of Krishna, we won't be carried away. Krishna can't be carried away. Right? He explains that in the chapter 7, text 12, I think, of Bhagavad Gita. Yechaiva sattvika bhava rajasas tamasas chaye mata iveti tan vidhi natu aham teshu te mayi. That there's three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, ignorance, and they're under me. They're controlled by Krishna. And the purport Prabhupada explains, just like a king, the king makes the laws, but he's not subject to the laws. He's above the law. King's a monarch. He's not like an elected president who is subject to the laws, but a king, he's not. He makes the laws, and he's the lawmaker, and he can be the lawbreaker, like that. So Krishna's like that. He's above. He's not under the modes of material nature. And so therefore, he's not affected. So if we take shelter of Krishna, then we also become free from being affected by these, waves of attraction. And that's actually in the next verse. Well, the next verse describes how all the living entities are affected. Tribir, Gunamayar, Bhavayar, Abhi, Sarvam, Ajam, Jagat, Moitam, Nabijanati, Mamebhya, Paramavyam. That Krishna says that all the living entities are deluded by the three modes of material nature. so that's, without exception. All living entities or conditioned souls are deluded by the three modes of material nature. But if the next verse, 7:14, Krishna explains that this divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is insurmountable, the Rachaya, but he gives the one and only solution to the problem. Mameve papajante mayami tam tarantite. That one who surrenders unto me can easily cross beyond it. So that's the solution to the whole thing. Surrender to Krishna, which means surrendering to the spiritual master, following the instructions of the spiritual master. Otherwise, we will be carried away. And as I mentioned, Krishna can't be carried away. Somebody once tried to carry Krishna away, and didn't work. Trinavarta. Literally, he tried to carry Krishna away, but that wasn't very successful for him. What to speak of, Krishna can't be carried away. Even Balaram can't be carried away. Palumbasura, he tried to carry away Balaram. And he also got what he didn't expect. He got killed. And even the gopis couldn't be carried away. Let's speak of Krishna and Balaram. Even the gopis. The gopis were... Shankachuta attempted to carry away the gopis. But he also got apprehended by Krishna or Balaram, or both. I can't remember. And he got killed. So we take shelter of the person who can't be carried away. And we'll be protected. Is that verse in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Mahatmanas Tumam Parta, Daivim Prakriti Mashrita, that under the control, under the protection of the divine energy. And when we engage in devotional service, we become under the protection of the divine, the Daivi Prakriti. And then we're free from that being victimized. Otherwise, everybody is. Even some aspiring transcendentalists, not some, even all aspiring transcendentalists other than devotees are caught in these waves of attraction. And there's a nice verse from the in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam. Yapada pankaja palasa valasa bhakcha karmashrayan gratititam udgatayanti santa tadvanna rikta matayo yatayo piruddha shroto ganas tamaranam bhajavasudevam. Just try to worship in devotional service Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even great sages are not able to control the forces of the senses as effectively as those who are engaged in transcendental bliss by serving the lotus feet of the Lord, uprooting deep-grown desire for fruitive activities. Well, in that particular translation, Prabhupada translated in such a way that he didn't mention about waves, but that word shroto. You see, shroto ganas tanrananam bhajavasudevam. The actual, you know, that word shroto is the same as in this verse here, shroto meaning waves. So it's point out there that except for the bhaktas, except for the devotees, the karmis, the jnanis, the yogis, they're all carried away by the waves of material desire. I think only the bhaktas are kind of free from that. So, what time is it? Can somebody see the time? 8:12. Okay, I can stop there. Does anybody have any questions? So I guess this point was clear. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Waiting for a mic here.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much for your class, wonderful class. So someone who is not initiated but performed devotional service, are his activities or her activities considered like useless without any benefit because it's not initiated?
Well, in the first Back to Godhead magazine I ever read, which Judah Karma also read, there was a morning walk that was transcribed, and these two devotees asked Prabhupada, when can we become initiated? And Prabhupada's answer was, you are already initiated. As soon as one becomes serious to follow my instructions, that is initiation. So Prabhupada did make that statement. That's not to say that devotees shouldn't, you know, come forward and formally get initiated from a bona fide spiritual master within ISKCON. But Prabhupada did make that point. So on the strength of that statement, I think you definitely could say that if somebody's coming, you know, to the temple and they're taking shelter of this philosophy and Prabhupada's movement and they're trying to engage in devotional service, it's the most useful thing they could do up until the point when they have the opportunity to get formally initiated, because that's recommended and, you know, by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar Devotion. But up until that point, that's the most useful thing you could do. I would say you're making a lot of advancement. It's totally, you know, beneficial, spiritually beneficial, whatever activities they're performing, they're chanting and everything, you know. Does that make sense? Yep. Anybody else? Anything? Archita.
Very nice answer. This question is floating around on the internet now. I would say that the answer depends on who's asking the question. If you're actually sincere, you come to this movement, you're following sincerely, then you will follow Prabhupada's recommendation to get initiated. But sometimes people ask that question because they don't want to become initiated. They want to say, okay, I'm chanting and I'm following the principles, so why do I need to be initiated? I'll just keep floating along like that. You see? But you can't fool Krishna. Always remember that. You can't fool Krishna. Krishna knows your intention. So if you're approaching Krishna in that mood, he's going to trick you. You can't trick Krishna. But if you are actually sincere, you sincerely want to make progress, you sincerely want to go back to God, and you want to please Krishna, then you will follow Krishna's own recommendation. Tadvedi pranipatena. Find a spiritual master, get initiated, follow the process. But yes, anything that you do in Krishna consciousness has effect. We know that. Prabhupada said it's like fire. You don't have to understand fire. It'll burn you. It's like taking medicine. It doesn't matter if you have a degree in pharmacology or not. The medicine will act. So yes, if somebody's chanting and hearing and rendering some service, they will make some progress for sure. It's not useless. It's never useless. But you can't use that as an excuse to not get initiated. You see? Not that, okay, I'm following and it's useful, I'm getting results, so why do I need to get initiated? No, you can't approach it that way either. Because it's old Krishna's own recommendation that you get a spiritual master. He never says, just chant my holy name and that's it. He says in Bhagavad Gita specifically, find a spiritual master. So why not do that if you're sincere?
Anybody else? You want to say anything? Okay, thank you very much. Kansarat Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you.